Colossians chapter 1 this morning, Colossians chapter number 1. I'm praying for the Lord to lead me in a plain path for our next book studies. We've finished the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. We have finished the Gospel according to John in the New Testament. And I'm praying for the Lord to lay some books on my heart. I believe He's done that. I'm just trying to clarify with Him to make sure He wants us to go that direction before we begin our book study. And I come to another stronghold. This is our topical series that we've been dealing with for several years now. Just occasionally I'll preach on one of these strongholds, something that the devil tries to use to grab a hold of us and keep us in bondage and keep us from being all that the Lord would have us to be. This particular stronghold I'm dealing with today is a stronghold that many will need personally. But some of you may not particularly need this particular stronghold, but I guarantee that somebody in your family does. So whether you think you need it or not, you need it, okay? As we come to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And He, talking about Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Notice the word preeminence. That word preeminence means first in rank. It also means first in influence. So this verse is teaching that He's to be the first in rank in all things. And He's to be the first in influence in all things. And this includes this stronghold that I'm preaching on. It's the stronghold of social media. The stronghold of social media. Now, I just lost some of you, didn't I? I hope I didn't. Because whether you need this personally or not, some of you are saying, what's that? What's social media? Is that a restaurant? I mean, what is that? You know? Well, you'll find out as we travel along. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. And as You've laid this message on my heart, I pray that You be the preacher. And may these precious people see Your heart in me, that You desire for us to use social media in a way that's God-honoring, in a way that You intended it to be used. And would You help us to be faithful preaching this in Jesus' name. Amen. 700,000 people join Facebook on a daily basis. 300,000 join Twitter on a daily basis. 2 billion people get on the internet daily, and 69% of those people are on social media. A typical teenager spends 11 and a half hours every day connected to some form of media. 78% of young people ages 12 through 17 have their own cell phone. And on average, these teens send and receive in excess of 3,000 text messages every month. 92% of teens go online on a regular basis, including 24% who say they go online almost constantly, direct quote. Of children age 0 to 5 who use the internet, can you imagine? 80% use it at least once a week, 0 to 5 years old. 32% of 11-year-olds and 55% of 12-year-olds are already on Facebook. 73% of online teens have profiles on social networking sites. Teenagers are going to love me today, I can guarantee it. 47% of online teens, 12 to 17, have uploaded photos. 14% have posted videos. 53% of teens have posted provocative or inappropriate photos or information online. 35% of teenagers posted content about themselves drinking or doing drugs. 15% of teens have experienced online harassment. Social media includes things such as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anything that gives you access to the outside world, so to speak. Individuals can access social media on their computer, and they can even now access social media on their phones. making it accessible everywhere you go by just carrying your phone inside of your pocket. It's called surfing the internet. It's called chat rooms. It's called anything you use to connect yourself socially to others who are around planet Earth. Now, in this message, it's my purpose to be simple and to be straightforward, to help us use this tool in the way that God Almighty intended. Now, may I say to you that if you don't need this or you don't use social media, there's probably a handful of people that don't use social media in here. If you don't use social media, I can about guarantee you that those you love probably do. And you need to understand this message. You need to get it. I want to give you three simple things I'm going to try to get as far as I can. How many of y'all think I'm going to get done? Would you raise your hand? You think I'm going to get done? Look at that. You're getting used to me, aren't you? Number one, let's notice social media has risk. Has risk. Let me say from the outset that social media is not wrong in itself. Did you hear what I just said? Social media is not wrong in itself. As a matter of fact, it can be used for God and His glory. But the devil has taken a tool like social media and perverted it just like he always tries to do. I want to give you several risks. Now, these are not the only risks, but I want to give you several risks involved in using social media. Number one risk, it can rob your time. Benjamin Franklin said, "Time is the stuff that life is made of. Therefore, do not squander it." There are only so many hours to live, and they should not be wasted on inappropriate time on social media. Social media has its way of grabbing your attention and holding you in its grip for hours upon hours at a time. Hours that could be spent in much better, much appropriate, and much God-honoring ways. See, if you're not careful, social media can rob you of the precious time God gave you to serve Him and spending that quality time with your family and taking you away from serving God and being with your family because your eyeballs are glued and you're channel surfing. You're doing this, and before you know it, that report has you, and that report has you, and that Facebook friend's got you. So you go and see how many friends they've got, and you see how many friends, and before you know it, you've been on there for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours, and you've done nothing for Jesus Christ. The first risk is it can rob you of your time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. One man said, time spent in social networking can be a terrible distraction from more important and essential relationships and responsibilities. You must know where to draw the line. Determine not to allow yourself to participate in social networking to the neglect of your family, the neglect of your marriage, or the neglect of your God-given responsibilities. Use these tools only as they help you to fulfill those responsibilities. So number one risk is it can rob your time. Number two risk, it can lead you into sin. Make no mistakes about it, the devil's out to destroy your life. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what that word devour means? It means to gulp whole. You know what that means? It means the devil's not trying to take a bite out of you. He's trying to make you disappear. He's trying to destroy your life. And may I say this to you, friends? As one preacher said, Satan wants to negotiate his way into your home. Satan no longer has to lure you out of your home and into a wrong place. He's brought the wrong place right into your living room. The point is, social media can be used by the devil to lead you into sin. There is much sin that takes place through the use of social media that I'm going to blow the trumpet on. Because by means of social media, people are tempted to look at things they should never look at. Amen. And they are tempted to say things that they would never say to the person to their face. You know, it's a coward who hides behind a computer screen.
There's a lot of gossip going on social media networks. There's a lot of pornographic sites that take place on it. And all I'm saying to you is there are people who are looking at things that they should never look at, and it leads them down a wrong path. They are saying things they should never say, leading them down the wrong path. They are listening to things they should never listen to by social media that leads them down the wrong path. Social media can be used to lead an individual into carnality, into worldliness, into lust, into gossip. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lust." A preacher said he was recently speaking with an evangelist who told him about a man he met at a revival meeting. And this man was a successful businessman. He was a deacon in his church and a Sunday school teacher. And while he used the internet at work, he was teased by a pornographic site. So he clicked on it, though he knew it was wrong. 2 weeks later, the company hired a professional cyber snoop. And at the end of the month, the director brought all the executives into a room. And after everyone was seated, he proceeded to put manila folders in front of each executive. And each folder contained records of pornographic internet sites that had been accessed. And because the company had a zero tolerance policy regarding pornography, that man, who was a deacon in his church and a Sunday school teacher in his church, but used social media for ungodly things, and many of his colleagues were released from their jobs. Friends, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's time we understand that when we think we go somewhere that nobody else knows, God does. One preacher reports the internet contains over 4 million pornographic websites. 20% of men surveyed admit to accessing pornography from work. 28,000 people view online pornography every second of every day. Every second of every day, 28,000 people are looking at pornography. The pornography business is a lucrative one, garnishing over $97 billion in revenue. According to the Family Safe Media, the largest numbers of viewers of internet pornography are children between the ages of 12 and 17. This preacher goes on to say, don't be caught thinking the internet is a safe place. He also goes on and says, a Penn State study showed that 93% of boys and 62% of girls would have been exposed to internet pornography before the age of 18. And the porn industry works to lure the most pure-hearted kids. More than 26 children's cartoon character names are linked to thousands of pornographic websites. Your child, if you trust your child, can go to Google and type in Mickey Mouse, and God only knows what's going to come up for your child. You say, I trust my kid. I don't. He's sitting right there. I don't trust him. And I want him to look at me. I don't trust me either, son. I don't trust you. Aren't you glad to hear that from your daddy this morning? And I love you too much to let the devil get a hold of you. That's why there's no internet surfing. There's no take the cell phone back in your room. There's no TV in the room. Now, I'm not criticizing people who have it, but he's not going to have one in my house. Amen. He's not going to have a computer in his room. He's not going to take his cell phone and go to bed with it at night. It's off limits. Why? Because there's a devil out there, and he's trying to wreck and ruin our lives. It's a danger. It leads you into sin. It'll take you down a pathway that you never thought you would ever go down. This is a risk. And before you think you would never fall prey to a temptation like this, I echo what a preacher said. Samson was the strongest man in the Bible. Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. And David was one of the most godliest men in the Bible. And all three of them were deceived by lust. Whether it's a temptation to lust, to gossip, or anything else displeasing to God, we need to be on guard against this risk of social media to lead us into sin. It can rob us of time. It can lead us into sin. Number three, this is drastic, okay? But I'm just blowing the trumpet here. It can open the door to sexual predators. It really can. This is a point specifically for young people. Whether it be in a chat room or uploading inappropriate pictures of oneself, there are sexual predators searching the websites. They are searching the internet. And they are looking for young people who are just vulnerable. In Ohio, a girl met a man in a chat room. She wasn't dumb. She didn't give her address or name or any personal information, but she wanted to meet new people, and she began to roam the chat rooms. As she chatted more with her new guy friend, she told him she had a softball game on Friday night. She mentioned who they were going to play. She also mentioned that there was a girl on her team that she was upset with because she wanted the number 7. But that girl got the number 7, and she just had to end up with number 12. So the guy showed up at her game, found number 12, went up to her and introduced himself as her new friend from the chat room. He offered her a ride home, and she accepted. But they never made it to her house. Instead, he took her to a hidden place and abused her. She ignorantly placed herself in the hands of a sexual predator. And it all started when she secretly went into a chat room without telling her parents. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am to be a man of God who stands against sin, and I'm telling you something. It is not right for young people to go into chat rooms not telling mom and daddy because they think, who's going to ever find out? They are flirting with destruction. I'm blowing a trumpet on this because I love you too much not to. Number 4, risk. It can cause one to be deceived into thinking it is private. It's easy to hide behind a screen. It's easy to start typing things and think, you know, social media has its way of making you think that you're anonymous. Who's going to ever know? Who's going to ever find out? Scott Pauley said the internet gives the illusion you're anonymous. And for some reason, sitting behind a computer iPhone screen gives people the illusion that nobody knows what you're doing. Nobody knows where you're going, what sites you're visiting. This is a mistake. Because the Word of God says the Lord knows all things. And there's nothing, get this now, let this speak to your heart. Nothing in reality is a secret. Think about that statement. Wait a minute, my mom doesn't know. Okay, maybe it's a secret to her, but there's no such thing as a secret. Because God knows all things. And may I say this to you? If you confess and forsake it, you'll have mercy. But if you don't, God will reveal it. God will take care of it. Because He loves you too much to let you keep going. Isaiah 29:15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? The Word of God says, woe unto those people who say, who seeth me? Who knoweth this? Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Psalm 90:8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes, God says. Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Psalm 139:7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Risk number 1, it can rob your time. Number 2, it can lead you into sin. Number 3, it can open the door to sexual predators, specifically for young people. Number 4, it can cause you to think that nobody knows. Number 5, and this is the last one I'm going to give here, it can hurt your testimony. Romans 14:16 says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're ambassadors for Christ. What we do not only hurts us, it can hurt Him. Let me say it again. Where you go, what you say, the pictures you upload, who you befriend, who you take on, who you have social media contact with, it either hurts God or helps God. And if it's the wrong thing, you're hurting your testimony. More appropriately, you're hurting the Lord's name. Don't say you love Jesus Christ and dishonor Him by what you post. Amen this morning, friends. Are you listening to me? It's not easy to preach this. You think it's easy for a preacher to preach this? No. Because I don't know how some people are going to take it. But don't ever say you love Jesus and upload pictures that cause lust because of the way you're dressed. Amen. Don't ever say you love Jesus and start gossiping about somebody on social media. It hurts the testimony. That's a risk. That's a risk. By the way, anytime I preach and it seems like I'm mad, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil, friends. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I'm trying to help. I'm blowing a trumpet on it because I'm trying to keep you away from a pit. Let me ask you a question. If there was a cliff right over there and you didn't know it and you were going that way, I mean, you're going to walk off to your death. And I knew about that cliff. You want me to say something about it or just let you learn? All I'm doing is saying stay away from the cliff. It has risk associated with it. These are not all the risks of social media, but they're enough to cause you to see the danger. Amen? To see the danger that lurks. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Number one, social media has risk. Number two, social media is a God-given resource. I like this point right here. Now, there's no doubt that a lot of people use it for ungodliness. But there's no doubt that social media can be used to bring honor and glory to God. It can. In itself, social media is not wrong, but the devil's taken it, perverted it to destroy people's lives instead of bringing glory to God. Get this. God allowed social media to be created. God allowed that. Why? To visit chat rooms? To look at pornography? To gossip? No! He let it be created to put a tool in the hands of His church to encourage people and to get the gospel around the world. Do you understand that when you present the gospel message that folks all the way across the ocean can access it and read it and listen to it? Now, you don't think God allowed that for that purpose? Come on, friends. I'm telling you that God has created some wonderful things, including social media, to encourage others and evangelize the world. Social media allows news to travel quickly around the world. And no doubt the Lord wants to use these means to help fulfill His will. Therefore, instead of using social media as an outlet to fulfill our own desires and to lash out at others that we disagree with, we should recognize social media as a God-given resource to encourage others and to get the gospel to as many people as possible. Paul Chappell put it this way. I like what he said. He said, if someone who does not know Christ as his Savior happens to follow my post, I want him to have exposure to the gospel. Powerful statement. Using social media this way is using it the way God intended. Now, I'm not saying that you get up on a soapbox on social media and start blasting. No, I'm talking about the gospel. Trying to lead people to Christ. Trying to encourage people to go on for God. You know what Scott Pauley said? Think about this statement. I'm paraphrasing his statement. He said, if you'll just start using social media in a right way, it'll be hard to use it in the wrong way. Now that's so simple, it's ridiculous. We should use social media not to entertain ourselves. Now entertainment's not wrong when it's in its right place. I'm not saying, okay, they put a picture of their family up there, they look great and everything. I shouldn't look at it. No, I'm not talking. Come on, friends. You know what I'm talking about. Use your God-given common sense. I like what Preacher Lashley's trained me in. Just use your common horse sense, he says. You know that'll get you out of a lot of trouble. Use your common horse sense. Whatever that means. Amen. Sounds pretty good, though, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That includes social media. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us ask ourselves, am I using social media for the reason God allowed it to be created? Now that's a great question to ask. If I post this, or if I say this, am I fulfilling the reason God allowed me to be able to do this? Number two, it's a God-given resource. Number one, it has risk. Number two, it's a God-given resource. Number three, social media should have rules. Number one, it has risk. Number two, it's a God-given resource. Number three, it should have rules. Now, it's my goal under this point to help each one of us to know how to use social media instead of it using us. The following is a simple outline that I've put together here that if you'll follow this outline, it'll help you with your social media use. By the way, if you don't need this, you say, Jody, I still don't know what social media is. Then you need to get this and teach this to your children and your grandchildren, because it's the age we live in, friends. Have you know I'm telling you the truth? Amen. You know it's the age we live in. How do you govern it? What do you do with it? Here are the rules that I suggest that you put in place. Rule number one, submit to God's Word. Let me explain this. As with all other strongholds, the Word of God is the answer to it. The very first and foremost decision that needs to be made concerning social media is to find out, are there principles in the Word of God that govern it? And then apply yourself to it and submit yourself to it. Now, let me give you a list of these. You don't turn to it. Let me turn or quote Psalm 101:3. It's number one under this. Here's what the Word of God says. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, if you're going to submit to God's Word and something over here pops up that you don't know what it is, will you click on it? Yes or no? No, you will not. If something unknown comes up, or a teaser comes up, or whatever the case, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. If you submit to that, you will not look at it. See where I'm going with this? You submit to God's Word. Submitting to this verse means you determine not to put anything wicked before your eyes. This means that even if you're blindsided with something, and that can happen, you can get blindsided with something, you don't feast on it. You don't feed on it. You immediately turn your face, shut it off, turn your eyes, quote this verse out loud. All I'm saying to you, we ought to do what Job did. Get this, when Job had the world crashing around him, had all these boils on him and everything else, you know what he said? Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Did you hear what I just said? He had the world stripped out from under him, boils all over him, so to speak. And what was he dealing with? He said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think on a woman? Now, friends, you know what that tells me? It is a powerful thing. And you've got to determine, I'm going to submit to God's Word. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Number two, Psalm 19:14. Listen to this. In Psalm 19, verse number 14, listen to this verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Hey, before you post that gossip, or before you hear that and it's hearsay and you repost it, wait a minute, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You see where I'm going here? Submitting to God's Word, that means you're not going to post anything, look at anything, go anywhere or say anything that's not acceptable to God. Ephesians chapter 5, I hope you're writing some of these things down. By the way, I remind you that my sermon, they're typed out. If you want them, you can have them. Just request them. I'll give them to you. Ephesians 5, 9 to 12, listen to this. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There's a good test for what you're about to do on social media. Is it goodness? Is it righteousness? And is it truth? That would stop a lot of social media use right there. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. These verses here, if you submit to the Word of God in these verses, it means you want to measure things to the standard of, is it good, is it right, and is it truth? Along with this, you're not going to allow things that are displeasing to God. You're not going to fellowship with that. You're not going to have fruit with that. You're not going to yoke up with those kind of things. You're to reprove them. You're not to join up with them. 3 John verse number 11. Listen to this. Three more here. 3 John verse number 11 says this, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, that which is good. That's a good test. You're going to submit to that, you're not going to follow evil, you're going to follow good. Is who you're following on Facebook, are they good or are they evil? Now the Bible says none are good, but you know what I'm talking about. Have a good testimony? Or you follow them because you're just curious. You don't know what they're going to do next. Friends, I'm telling you, submit to the Word of God. You don't follow that which is evil, you follow that which is good. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Talks like this. I'm flying today. I know that. I'm flying through this. I want to get through this. Nothing else, just to prove you wrong this morning. You know what I mean? 1 Timothy 4, 12. Be thou an example of the believers. And he gives a list in word. That means in what you say and what you think. In conversation, that means your lifestyle. In charity, that means the way God loves. In spirit, that's your attitude, your inner man, the real you. In faith, that means trusting God. In purity, that means cleanliness with an emphasis on sexual purity. Hey, you submit to that verse right there, there's a lot of social media use that you'll never be associated with. Amen or not, friends. Good night, you're making it hard on me to preach this message this morning. You with me or not? You don't have to say amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is gun barrel straight this morning. And we all need this. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 says this. In Philippians 4, 8 it says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. Is what you do on social media, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Number one, as we look at the rules that should be established, submit to the Word of God. What does God's Word say about it? Take those verses and say, God, help me. I cannot post that because it's not true. I cannot post that because it's not of good report. I cannot look at that because it's impure. You see where I'm going with this. Submit to the Word of God. Submit to the Word of God. Number two, set boundaries. Set boundaries. Along with determining to submit to God's Word, another great thing we can do to keep social media from becoming a stronghold is to set clear boundaries with its usage. Not only for ourselves, but for our children. One preacher said, the point here is not that technology is harmful, but that it's powerful. He says, just as you wouldn't give your five-year-old a power saw to experiment with and figure it out on his own, you shouldn't be letting your children feel their way through the minefield of social media. They need your guidance, your oversight, and boundaries. Stay involved. Even though boundaries can be different for each family, depending on the ages of the children and the devices in the home, the following are recommended boundaries. Now, here they are. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Again, if you want this message, just request it. Just let me know you want it. Matter of fact, I'll just run several of these off and put them out there for next Sunday. Because you need these in front of you. Number one, keep its use in public places. This would not allow computers, cell phones, or televisions inside children's bedrooms. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your home. God knows my heart. If your children have a television or a cell phone or a computer in their room and you're comfortable with that, that is between you and God. I would never try to usurp the man's authority or the lady's for that matter. I'm not the high priest of your home, okay? But I'm giving you advice. As a God-called man, I'm giving you advice. My opinion, you should never have social media outlets behind closed doors in children's bedrooms. That's my opinion. It should be out in public places. Many of the hidden texts and other things that they call them, okay, I'm being careful because I know we've got some children in here. Many visits of unquestionable sites and posts or provocative photos take place in the privacy of bedrooms. So if they're just not allowed to take their cell phone in the bedroom, it's helping them. Number two, don't surf the internet. Know where you're going and know the information you need. But don't just say, well, it's got that word in it. Let me just type that word and see what comes up. Don't do that, friends. Don't surf the internet. Number three, use a filtering system. And if you'd like to know some of those that we recommend, let us know. One of them is Covenant Eyes and so on. If you want to know some, you can call the church. We can help you with that. Number four, keep the computer screen facing where people can see it as they pass by. Just as they're walking through, the computer screen should be facing where everybody can see it. Number five, delete all email you do not recognize. I don't know, who's that, what is that? Let me click on it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It could be innocent, or it could start your life of destruction. So why chance it? If you don't know who that is, you have no idea what they're sending, don't open it. Number six, limit its use. Limit social media's use. Steve Jobs, he's the founder of Apple and the creator of the iPhone and the iPad. He created it. He limited how much technology his kids used at home. It's a good thing to guard not only how much time you allow social media to use, but also what times you will allow it to be used. Not only how long, but when. There's nothing good for a teenager to have a cell phone surfing the internet at 2 o'clock in the morning, friends. Determine to have some time away from it. When you're having daily devotions, get rid of the social media. Take your phone, put it somewhere else. Scott Pauley said you should have no master but Jesus. Amen. You know, when we know we're addicted to it, take it away for 24 hours and see if you have withdrawals. Paul said, hey, I'm about done here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. These are only some of the guidelines you can establish to help social media to never become a stronghold. I advise you to come up with more to help you and your family, but these are five or six good thoughts there. The bottom line is you can't trust yourself and you can't trust your children. We must be proactive to combat this temptation. That's number two. Number one, submit to God's word. Number two, set boundaries. Number three, stay accountable to those who love you. Something else everyone can do to keep social media from becoming a stronghold is to establish accountability with those we love. The bottom line, again, is we cannot trust ourselves. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Somebody says, I can handle it. Then you know more than God. Because God said, don't put any confidence in the flesh. You know what that means? That means I can fall and so can you. Therefore, it's a good thing to make ourselves accountable. If you're married, make yourself accountable to your spouse. Make yourself accountable to your family and your friends. One man said, no husband or wife should have an online account, email, or social connection that's not shared with the spouse. And I say amen to that. Amen to that. No child should have a connection that isn't accessible to the parents. If you have a child that says, stay away from me, it's private. I don't want my mom and dad to see that. No, I've got my own password. What is it? I'm not going to tell you. Something's fishy, friends. And children should not have their own passwords. Guard your heart by staying open, transparent, accountable to people who you know love you. And they want to help you. That's number three. Number four. Hey, I'm going to get through this message. Nobody thought I would, including myself. But anyway, number four, we've already said this, sanctify its use to God's glory. This is just kind of bringing it right back to what we've already said, but I thought it'd be a good way to kind of conclude things here. We've already spoken of this, that God made it for His glory. So sanctify it to His glory. God, help me not to watch things, go places, do things, say things that displeases You. 1 Corinthians 10:31 again, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I want to quote Dr. Paul Chappell here. He's speaking in reference to surfing the internet, but I'm going to use this with phones, with any kind of social media. I'm going to give you what he said, but then I'm going to change it a little bit. He said, if you printed the last 10 days of your internet activity, that's what he says, if you printed the last 10 days of your internet activity, I want to add to that, if you printed the last 10 days of your internet activity, of your Facebook post, of your Twitter account, of your Instagram, you follow me where I'm going. If you printed out everything you looked at, everything you said, every place you went, all of that for the last 10 days, he says, and he asks, would you be willing to confidently bring these pages before the Lord with a pure conscience? Now, that's a great question. This is a good way to look at all of social media. Is God pleased with how I and my family are using this God-given resource? Now, if you think somebody doesn't need this morning, we're fooling ourselves. Maybe that person's you. Or maybe it'd be good as we begin for the invitation. We're starting to get into our places. Maybe it would be good for some moms and some dads and some grandmas and some granddads, some folks who don't even know what I'm talking about today. I didn't understand a word he said about social media. I still don't know what he's talking about. May God grab a hold of all of our elderly folks, our middle-aged folks, our teenagers, our children, but especially moms and dads and grandmas and granddads. You listening? The devil's trying to destroy our children and our grandchildren. And what I preached on this morning is one of the major tools he's using. And you may be the only person praying for their deliverance. Because I don't need this. Maybe you don't. But I can about guarantee somebody you desperately love does. Will you take social media and dedicate it to God? You with me this morning? You with me this morning? This is what we call a pastoral message, where a pastor is blowing the trumpet on a tool that God has created for His glory, and the devil has perverted it to destroy our lives. And may we give it back to God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You today. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. Let's turn the piano down a little bit. And as she begins to play through softly, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? We start there. I know I preached on social media, but I never want to let this come and go a service without giving you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. If you do not know for sure that heaven is your home, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Please, men with men, ladies with ladies, is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not even a Christian. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. How many today say, Jody, I know what you're talking about because I am connected to social media. Now, so am I as your pastor. I am. I'm on Twitter. My wife is on Facebook, but she uses it for the glory of God. And if you all are connected to somehow, some way, you're connected to social media, would you raise your hand? Whether it be a phone, whether it be a computer. Yes, God bless you. That's a majority of you. Have you say, Jody, I needed this today. Doesn't mean you're doing something wrong with it, but you just say, God's showing you, you know, I gave this to you to use for me, and God may be just challenging you to do a better job at that. Have you God speaking to you about your social media use? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Have you say, Jody, I don't use social media. Matter of fact, I'd be interested in that. If you say, I'm, and that was several of you. You say, I don't use social media at all that I know of. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. Now, if you raise your hand to that, I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? That's probably a good thing, okay? But I'm trying to burden you today. Don't tune me out. Don't tune me out. Because, like I said, I'm saying I can bow because it's hard for a preacher, I guarantee, you understand? Because I don't know all of your families, but I'm saying it is highly, 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 highly probable that somebody you love, it may be a child, it may be a grandchild, it may be a great-grandchild, they're connected to social media. And you might be the answer to help them to where it doesn't become a stronghold. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And may God help us all to get under this burden and help these young people especially. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you leave your place and would you come? If God is speaking to your heart, if you want to dedicate social media to God's use, if you want to come pray for your children or your grandchildren, if you want to pray for yourself, would you leave your place and would you come? Right now, as Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come. Would you do it? Please do it.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way. Set me free.
You can look this way. Which one is Isaac? Isaac, Sean, and is this Kamar? Did I say that right? Outstanding. And all three of these young boys here, all of them rode our buses, two on bus number 7, one on bus number 12. They have listened to the message today. They have responded. They've been dealt with. They've not been pressured. They've just been given the gospel clearly. And today, they all three are praying to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is that true? So today, you're trusting Jesus. You know what that means? That means someday you're going to be able to go to heaven. Isn't that great? And we're so happy you're here. Have you happy for these boys? Would you say an amen? Isn't that great? Brother Edwards, God bless you for being here with them. I'm going to let you go ahead and take them out so they don't get caught up in the crowd here. Thank you for being here, boys. And we've got a children's discipleship program that we're going to try to get them involved in. That'll be good. Tonight at 5 o'clock, all Sunday school workers, if you're a visitor and have a visitor's card, please take it out through the lobby and get your free gift there at the Welcome Center. And God willing, we'll be coming back tonight in the service to our leadership acrostic. And I hope you'll be right in your place, especially all the leaders. Let's pray and be dismissed today, okay? Brother Nick Lingerfelt, sir, if you wouldn't mind to pray and dismiss us, please.